over the years, I've taken up a hobby, which I didn't intend to take, but I found delight and pleasure in it. I enjoy doing gardening. Unfortunately, gardening doesn't always agree with me, because one of the skills that is necessary for gardening is patience. And I don't have a lot of patience. And so I think through this interest, the Lord is teaching me how to be patient. After a lot of hard work and time, fruit is finally produced from what you plant. Last year and last spring, I planted a rose bush by my house. And as you remember, last year it was so incredibly acrid and hot, and no matter what I did, I tried to water it every day, I tried to fertilize it, but it just withered away and it died. Well, this year I tried again, and I planted another rose bush, and it has bloomed beautifully because it's been wet every single day. And the conditions have been just right in that soil for it to grow and for it to produce and to bloom. But it's taken work. In either occasion, I had to water the plant when it wasn't raining. I had to fertilize it, and I had to feed it. In the case of a rose bush, there's a lot of trimming that you have to do and making sure that you trim it exactly on the correct angle so as to make the plant grow. It takes a lot of hard work, but it also takes a lot of patience. I had these two rose bushes, one from last year, and that one was a failure because it failed to produce fruit. When I hauled it out of the soil this year, there were no roots, there was broken branches, and it was completely dead. That plant was a failure. But the one this year, that one has been successful for now, until my brown thumb touches it again, and hopefully it will keep on living. Jesus uses a lot of examples from real life to teach us biblical truth. And he talks about plants a lot, and we are a lot like plants. That the Word of God is implanted in us, the seed of the Word of God is implanted in us, and it needs to grow. What does success in the Christian life really mean? What does it mean to be successful as a Christian? It means that you are like the plant in the parable, and you are blooming, and you are growing, and you are producing fruit. The plant that does not produce fruit is not the successful plant and not the successful soil. So if the Word of God is genuinely implanted in you, then the point is to produce fruit. The point is to be fruitful. That rose bush that I planted in the soil, the point of planting it was to provide blooms and to provide beauties and for it to grow and to produce. The successful rose bush was the one that did produce flowers, the one that did bloom, the one that did grow. And so the successful Christian life is the one that the seed goes into the soil and it grows and it flowers and it blooms and it produces, and there is growth. That is the measure of the successful Christian life. The first part of this parable that we need to understand is that the Word of God, the seed, the Word of God must be implanted within us. And Jesus tells a simple parable for us to understand this. Perhaps the key to understanding this parable is the context. Already early on in Jesus' ministry, there are huge crowds that were following Jesus. If you asked any of those people in the crowds, these people that were seeking after him for bread or food or miracles or for healing or for removing demons, if you asked any of them, "Are you a genuine follower of Jesus?" they probably would have answered, "Well, yes, I'm following Jesus." So out of this huge crowd that is following Jesus, what is a true follower? What is one that is genuinely following Christ? How can you tell one that is a genuine believer from somebody that is not a genuine believer? And also another question, what does Jesus want from these people? If he had to tell us what the mark of a good follower of him is, what would be successful? Well, Jesus tells all of these things in the form of a parable. And he tells a story about a man with a bag of seed. And this is how they used to do it in the time of Jesus. That they would have this huge bag of seed. They would haul it up on their shoulder. They would cut open the front of it. They'd have it hold it right here. And they would take the seed as it drained out of the bag, and they would just chuck it around, and they would spread it. If they were a good farmer or a well-planned farmer, they would have just had a row and planted a row beforehand and then chucked the seed into the row. But this is what is not happening here. He's just throwing it all over the place, tossing it everywhere to see whether it will grow. And lo and behold, in the story, there are places where the seed does not grow and places where it's good soil where the seed is implanted into the ground and the seed produces fruit and ultimately blooms. Well, the crowds go away and the disciples ask for an explanation to this story because they're lacking in understanding. Jesus gives a general statement about the parables that I think is important for us to understand in verse 10. Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." There are mysteries that are revealed through these parables that we are going to be studying. These stories tell us deep truths about the kingdom. But for others, in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. What Jesus is saying here is that those with hardened hearts, those that have already rejected Jesus, those without the capacity to understand, they will not be able to understand the parables. It takes the power of the Spirit, it takes the truth of Christ to be able to understand these parables of Jesus. And it is so with this one, but also with the rest of the parables that are told, that to people that are not genuinely following Jesus, to people that are hardened in their heart, they will not understand the parables. They will be veiled. They will be just stories. But for those that have the Spirit inside them, that are genuinely following after Christ, they will reveal and unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so for us that have the Spirit is going to teach us things through these parables about what it is like to be a part of God's kingdom. The Spirit is key here to understanding what these parables are all about. And Jesus starts to go on and explain to the disciples about what this parable is about. In verse 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." The seed is this, God's word. But also as we examine John chapter 1, the word was with God and the word was God. The seed is also Christ himself and the message that he brings. And so Jesus is the initial sower. Jesus is the one spreading the message of the kingdom throughout the world. He is the one that has been sent by God to go into all the world and to spread his message, the good news of the kingdom. But later on, the context changes, and this happens in a lot of Jesus' parables. That initially, as he is talking, Jesus is the one who is on mission from God to spread the word of God out. But now Jesus is gone, he's in heaven, and the mission turns to us, and now we are the sowers, we believers are the ones who are spreading out the word of God as evangelists, telling the truths of the kingdom. So the context changes. And Jesus tells us about three different unproductive soils, three instances where the word of God is spread out, but it does not take root and it does not grow. Now, the first thing that he's going to talk about is spiritual warfare. Verse 12, "The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved." In the story, Jesus talks about the sower throwing those seeds, and some of them land beside the road. And the roads were dirt in the time, but they were well-trodden. They were well-padded down if you've gone through a woodsy trail. And you walk along that path in the woods, you see that there is no vegetation growing there because the motion of the footprints has hardened the soil and there's no vegetation growing out of that path. Even if you see like a little deer path that's going through the woods and it's matted down, there's no vegetation growing on it because the footprints have hardened the soil. And so if the seed is scattered on that soil, what happens to the seeds? Well, birds will come and they will snatch them away, and it doesn't give an opportunity for the seed to take root. And so the point here is that whenever the word of God is preached, there is spiritual warfare. That Satan is looking for an opportunity to snatch that word away. Their hearts have been hardened, and people are not in a position to hear. And because of that, Satan easily takes the word of God away so that they would not believe and they would not follow Christ. This happens every time the word of God is preached. which is why often we are worried about distractions during preaching. Whenever the Word of God is preached by me or anybody else in this house, it is a matter of life and death. That if people respond to the Word of God, they can believe and have eternal life. But if they reject that Word of God, it is a matter of death and punishment in hell. It is an important time whenever the Word of God is preached. And sometimes when distractions happen, like, you know, the power goes out during the middle of a sermon, which has happened before, sometimes people are more distracted by the power outage than the Word of God being preached. And it's concerning, because that is an opportunity for Satan to snatch away the Word of God being preached whenever somebody is distracted away from the main event, the power of life and death. And this is why we want to focus on the Word of God as we come here. We want that soil to take root, and we want to do everything possible to keep the devil away from this house and from people from going to hell. We want everybody to hear that message. Not only is there the soil where spiritual warfare takes place, there is the soil where trial and suffering takes place. Excuse me, I've had a sinus infection for most of the week. Verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But they have no root. For they believe for a while, and in the time of testing, they fall away. So there's another instance where things can happen. The seed is described as landing on rocky soil. Anybody have, well, typically here in Indiana, you have lots of sandy soil where water can go down easily into the soil, and thus we have to mow our lawns for five times a week, as like we're doing right now. On more rockier soils, as you have in Texas, they don't have a lot of deep-rooted grass. It's like that running grass, the grass that has very little roots and it just runs across the property as much as it can. But if there's a big drought or a blight or something like that, that grass withers away because it has no hard roots. And so you could have a very big soil or a big lawn or a very small lawn, depending on how much moisture you have in Texas. This is what it's like if you have no root in the Word of God. That in some instances, Jesus is saying that the seed is thrown out onto rocky soil, and there is no root taking place. And therefore, when the sun comes up and trial and suffering happen and difficult things happen, there is no root for the plant to hold on, and therefore there is no moisture, and the plant dies and withers away. Some people will appear to believe in Jesus, but their faith will wither away when trial and suffering comes. And I'm not saying that people are losing their faith because you cannot lose your salvation. What I'm saying is that it's insincere or ingenuine faith. And the trial and suffering moment happens, something difficult happens, and their faith is proven to be insincere or false. Difficult times in life are either going to shipwreck your faith or refine your faith and make it stronger. And this is the point of trial and suffering, is to make our faith stronger so that we will have root to be able to sustain the storms of life. The third soil, verse 14. And as for they that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Third example of soil is some of the seed is sown into a place where there's lots of weeds and there's lots of thorns. And what happens to that seed? It is choked out by everything else and it does not grow. This is similar to the distractions, the lusts in our life, the flesh carrying us away, the sinful condition that is still in our life. It is dying every day because Christ is growing within us. But there is still that sinful nature that is within us, luring us away and taking us and calling us back to the ways of the world. And with some people, their faith is choked out because they are in love with the world. They are in love with stuff. They are in love with the things of this world. And they love that more than Jesus. And eventually, that will choke out their faith. And again, this isn't people losing their faith because you cannot lose your salvation. What it's saying is that through time, their faith is proven false because it demonstrates that they love the world more than anything else, and the love of the world chokes out any belief in Christ. Don't forget that time is involved in this parable. This doesn't happen over a short period of time. How do you know that the plant is genuine? You don't know in the short run. You only know over time. I meet many people in this profession that have fallen away from the faith because of just these things. Over time, their faith has proven to be false because they've had difficulty in life. Somebody has died. Somebody has gotten a serious illness. They've loved something more than they love Christ. The world is calling them with a siren-like call away from Christ, and their faith over the long run is proven to be false. The distractions of life and the tyranny of calendars overcome people's and their faith is proven to be false. A couple thoughts here on the bad soils. First of all, the parable is about fruitfulness. This is the point of the parable: bearing fruit. The parable is not about salvation. If you spend all your time overanalyzing whether each particular soil is saved, then you have completely missed the point of the parable. Because the point of the Christian life is to bloom and to blossom and to grow. That is the point of the Christian life. To grow in health and to grow in maturity and not to wither away into weakness and immaturity. The point of salvation is that you have been saved for something. Salvation is the starting line, not the finish line. When you have been saved, you don't just sit down in a lawn chair and wait for Jesus to come back. It is not the end. It is the start of something, and we should be growing in Christ. That is the point of why you have been saved, is to grow, church. That is why you have been saved. But also, the seed's purpose is to bear fruit. The reason that you plant a seed is for it to grow and to bloom and for the plant to thrive to full maturity and to produce fruit. I've been at this gardening thing for a long time now. I remember I planted the first garden that I had, and it was in Hartfield, Virginia. We were in a rural area, and there was this area that had already been planted out as a garden by the previous person. And so I figured, okay, this is going to be easy. He's got everything ready. And so I got a bunch of different fruits and vegetables that my wife and I liked, and we planted out different rows of plants. But then the bad stuff started happening. It rained a lot, and there was lots of weeds, and they started growing up around everything, and they were choking out the plants. And then as the ones that grew up, there were animals that were all around our neighborhood that started eating everything that we were growing. The little bitty fruits that we had, the little bitty tomatoes, man, squirrels love those tomatoes. And they will take them and snatch them and haul them off so that you have no fruit. And I learned this gardening thing was a little bit harder than it looked like. And I put all this time and effort into producing a garden, and it failed. It was not successful. I planted all these seeds, and they did not produce fruit. At the end of the process, I didn't say to myself, well, that was awesome. I think I'll do that again. I needed to learn from my mistakes and how to be a better gardener. And by the way, did you know that beavers like jalapenos? The only bush that actually grew to maturity was a jalapeno bush. And a giant beaver, it must have been this tall, I would see him in my yard every day, and he'd be by the jalapeno bush just munching on jalapenos. And so the only plant that really grew, the beaver ate it. So watch out for that in your gardening life. But the purpose is, and the point is that if you plant a seed, the point is for it to grow. If it does not bloom, it is a failure. If you have the Word of God in your life, if you have Jesus in your life, the point is for you to grow. That's the point. That's why you have been given Jesus. And if you're not growing, it is not a good thing. And the next point is that unproductive soils are equally condemned. The situation of the path, the situation of the rocky and the thorny soils, they're all equally lamentable. Why? Because they do not produce fruit. It doesn't matter which scenario you're in or what situation somebody's in. They're all lamentable. And in terms of this parable, a fruitless lost person is equally as lamentable as a fruitless nominal Christian. The point is they're not bearing fruit. And if they're not bearing fruit, that is not serving the purpose why Jesus planted it. Both of them equally prohibit the word of God from bearing fruit, and that is a bad thing. If you have Christ in you, you should be bearing fruit. You should be. And let's turn to the problem, because this is really critical. The soil is the problem. If you plant a garden and it doesn't grow, there could be two problems. Either it's the seed or it's the soil. And let me tell you, in this parable, the problem is not the seed, because the seed is the word of God and the seed is Jesus. There is nothing wrong with the seed. If you put it down into the soil, it should grow. The problem is the dirt of your life. And if your dirt in your life is not healthy and productive and conducive for Christ to grow, he will not grow in your life. Have a little nerd moment for all the nerds that are out there. The prepositions in this parable are interesting. And you can tune me out for a minute here when I'm talking about prepositions, but I think it's interesting that as the seed gets thrown out, the seed goes beside the path, and then the seed, as it gets thrown out again, it goes on top of the rocky soil, and then when it gets thrown out again, it gets thrown in the middle of the thorns, but then when it reaches the good soil, it goes in the soil. The only soil where it speaks of the word of God actually going in the soil is the good soil. All the other soils, it goes beside it, on top of it, in the middle of it. It doesn't actually take root. The difference is the dirt. If the word of God is the seed, then it is an abomination to prevent that seed from bearing fruit. You should be growing if you have Jesus. And if you are not producing spiritual fruit, then you are wasting the word of God. The reason that you have the seed is for you to grow. And if you're having one of these spiritually dry moments, and everybody has them, past few weeks I was going through a spiritually dry moment, and everybody has these. But if you're going through these feelings where you're not getting nourished enough by the word of God, the problem is not the word of God, the problem is the dirt. And you need to look at your dirt and see how you can cultivate your dirt to make the word of God grow. How is your dirt? How is your dirt? So don't go blame God and blame the word of God for the reason that you're spiritually barren, or blame God for the reason that you're spiritually fruitless. It is your issue and your dirt. Let's talk about a little hard issue that's in this parable that is kind of the elephant in the room. Yes, the rocky soil and the thorny soil, these fringe elements, they kind of represent the fringe of the church. And we may know people, and I certainly know a lot of people that would qualify in these categories. They're kind of slightly attracted to church, and they kind of like the concept of church, but they never really seem to get involved in church. They have these spurts where they'll go to church for 3 weeks in a row, and then for another year you won't see them. It waxes and wanes. Their interest waxes and wanes. It seems like they're flirting with Jesus, but never really getting serious with Jesus. They kind of like the concept, but they don't really want to get involved. Only God knows the heart condition of these people. And this is why it's so dangerous to talk about this parable in terms of salvation, whether these people are saved or they're not saved. Only God knows their heart condition. We are left unsure as to whether these people are saved. These people that are flirting with the world, that find the world more important than Jesus, that are burnt out by the trial and suffering of life. Only God knows their heart. We are unsure whether they are saved, but we are sure that they don't produce fruit. And in the context of this particular parable, they are condemned because they do not produce fruit. That is the lamentable situation. Don't waste the word of God. It is in you to produce fruit. And that is the ultimate problem of the thorny soil, of the rocky soil. They may have gotten access to the word of God, but they have completely missed the boat. How is your dirt? And if the word of God is implanted in you, then you should be producing spiritual fruit. Let's talk about spiritual fruit for a minute. This is a Christianese type of term, isn't it? What does it really mean to be fruitful or produce spiritual fruit? These are kind of clunky, confusing church terms sometimes, as if we talk about spiritual fruit and you should be having apples and kumquats hang off you, and we're not really, you don't really give a lot of meaning and clarity to what spiritual fruit actually means. This is what bearing spiritual fruit actually means. It means becoming like Jesus in character and in outlook. Let me repeat that again, because this is the critical part. Bearing fruit means becoming like Jesus in character and outlook. That if you have Christ in you, Christ should be changing you to become more like Christ. Wrap your mind around that one. That if you have Christ in you, Christ should be changing you to become more like Christ. That is the purpose of having Christ in your life. And as we know Christ more, as we learn more about him, he will change our thoughts, he will change our words, he will change our works, he will change our very purpose. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And this is a good measuring stick as to whether Christ is being fruitful in your life, whether you're allowing him to grow in your life. Are you becoming more loving like Christ? Are you loving your enemies? That person that you have a difficult time with at work? That person that is your friend who drives you up the wall? Are you loving them more? Are you turning the other cheek? Joy. Are you experiencing joy in your life? That when you wake up in the morning, that the thing that really encourages you is the hope that you have in Christ and that is propelling you forward? Peace. Are you just full of turmoil, or do you have inner peace inside of you because of what Christ is doing in your life? Faithfulness. Are you becoming faithful more and more every day to the words of Jesus, growing in obedience? Self-controlled. Are you learning to control your emotions? And is Christ controlling your emotions so that you can go out and serve him? And I know I've missed some of them, but the fruit of the Spirit is the measuring stick for how we should be growing in Christ and how our character should be changing in Christ. But also our outlook should be changing. That as we wake up every single morning, we realize that we are made for an eternity in heaven and not for the garbage that's here on earth. And that perspective completely changes. And if you talk to Myrtle Tout on her deathbed, this is a woman whose outlook was completely changed by Christ. That as she said to Mike on her deathbed, she said, "I wish I had done more for Jesus Christ because he is everything." Her perspective had been changed by the work of Jesus Christ in her life. And she was growing in Christ. That is the perspective we need to have. Are you bearing fruit? Are you becoming more like Jesus in character and outlook? When you look in the mirror, do you see Jesus growing in you? If you look at verse 15, there are two keys to having a fruitful soil. It says in verse 15, Jesus says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." To grow anything, you need nutrients and you need time. You need nutrition and you need time. The nutrition for the Christian is the word of God, is Jesus. Are you retaining the word? Oh, church, never stop intaking the Word of God. Don't settle for anything else. And don't let anybody tell you that spiritual maturity comes from anything else. Spiritual maturity comes from a lifetime of intaking the Word of God. So don't settle for anything else. Spiritual growth does not come from your church attendance or your age or your church membership. You could have been attending a church for 70 years, and if you're not intaking the Word of God, then you are not spiritually mature. If you do not regularly intake the Word of God, then you will not grow. Church, I encourage you as much as you can to dig into the Word of God, and we are trying to give you as many opportunities, church, to get into the Word and to do that. We have Sunday school. We have small groups. We have Sunday night Bible study. We have things on Wednesday night. We have opportunities all over the place for you to dig into the Word of God and to grow. But aside from that, in your own quiet time, are you having time in your house by yourself, on your own, unguided by anybody, where you are feeding yourself? Are you getting into the Word of God on your own and having daily quiet time with God? So the first thing is to retain the Word. Are you in the Word? Because it's only the Word that will help you grow. But two, are you persevering? Perseverance is critical to the life of a believer. It says, bear fruit with patience. Have you ever thought about patience in your spiritual life? And the role of patience in your spiritual life? I see it a lot. Being a youth, former youth minister, I used to see it all the time with youth. They start getting into the Word of God. They've had a tremendous salvation experience. But then they don't see change happening fast enough. And they quit far too soon. And you may know adults that are just like this as well. They start coming to church. They start getting involved in things. And they start thinking, I'm not changing fast enough. Things aren't happening fast enough. So there must be something wrong with this whole thing, this whole Christianity thing, so I'm just going to drop out. They're not persevering in the faith. There needs to be a perseverance to the faith. A couple weeks ago, I was pulling out some shrubs from last summer that had been burned up, and I finally got to one that I had to tug a little bit harder, and I started pulling on the thing, and it took all of my strength to pull that shrub out that I thought was dead, but as I pulled the thing out, there was a lot of roots in the ground on that plant. And I realized as I was pulling that thing out, dope, I just pulled out a plant that probably could come back. The external looked like it wasn't going to make it, but the root system was there, and it probably could have lived and survived. And this is what happens to some people in their spiritual life. That they just pull it out prematurely. That they say, I'm done with this. They could grow, but they are just going to stop. Don't give up on the Word of God, because there is nothing wrong with the Word of God. If you give God time and you give God opportunity, He will change your life, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to spiritually mature. There was a group of tourists who were visiting a picturesque village in Europe. And as they walked through the village, they found an old man sitting beside a fence. And in a rather patronizing way, one of the tourists asked the old man, well, were there any great men born in this village? And the old man replied, nope, only babies. If you don't get that now, ask your partner on the way home. The point is, it takes time to be shaped into the image of Jesus. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time. It takes a long time to grow from a spiritual baby to become spiritually mature. So don't give up on it. Some people will give up. They don't like their pastor. They don't like their church. They don't like the way things are going in church. They don't like the worship music. And instead of keeping with it and persevering with it, they just drop out. Who is that harming? It's only harming you, because you're not producing spiritual fruit. You're just missing out on what God has in store for you and what God wants for your life. Spiritual fruit is a long-term endeavor, the result of a lifetime spent tending the soil of your life with the Word of God. Again, salvation is a starting line and not a finish line. Salvation is the beginning of a story and not the ending. When you are saved, it's the beginning of a great journey through the Word of God. As He grows you into spiritual maturity, you are not made for nothing. You are made for something, which is to grow in Him. And you may ask, when does this process stop? Well, when you're fully conformed into the image of Christ. It stops when you're fully like Christ, and that doesn't happen until heaven. And so, when you look at yourself in the mirror, and as you get home and you don't look at your, you look at yourself in the mirror, if you look at, I'm getting tongue-tied, but if you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't see Jesus staring back at you, you got some more work to do. And every day as you look in the mirror and you don't see Jesus staring back, you've still got more work to do. That Jesus needs to keep on changing you into His image. A pastor tells a story about one spring he went to Florida. And they, for whatever reason, they wanted to visit an orange grove that was down there. And they had taken a tour of the orange groves, and they had gotten to pick their own oranges and were very excited about the whole experience. And then after they went to this orange grove, they went to the restaurant that was beside the orange grove. And the first thing they did is they said, "Waiter, I'll have a glass of orange juice." And the waiter replied, "You can't have any." And they asked, "Why?" "Well, the machine that produces the orange juice is broken. So you can't have any orange juice." You imagine the situation. You're in a grove of oranges, in a restaurant in the middle of a grove of oranges. You're trying to get a glass of orange juice, and you can't get it. We are in the middle of a grove of the Word of God. The Word of God is all around you. You're in the midst of a restaurant where we are feeding and feasting on the Word of God. What is preventing you from really getting this into your life? I would tell you this morning, the problem is not the Word of God. The problem is your dirt. So we can't oversimplify this parable by saying that the people that are distracted by the world, they're some other people. The people that are burned out by trial and suffering, they're some other people. The people that Satan is trying to snatch away their faith and pull it away, that's some other people. No, it's us. That every day we have to fight for growing our faith. That Satan is still attacking us. Don't think he's not attacking you daily and trying to shipwreck your faith. There's going to be trial and suffering in your life. I guarantee you will go through hard times as a Christian. It will happen. You've got to let it refine your faith and not shipwreck your faith. And church, you will be pulled away by the world, that the world will tell you that there's something more important out there for your time and your money than Jesus. Don't let it happen. The parable of the soils is a warning for all of us that there are so many things that can shipwreck our faith. We've got to cultivate our dirt so that the Word of God will grow and bloom and produce not just a little bit, 100-fold. A typical grain of seed in the time of Jesus was expected to produce 35-fold. This seed produced 100-fold, more than even expected. And it takes work, it takes holding on to the Word, and it takes persevering in our faith. So church, let's do that this morning.